This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. The music choices on this show have been very eclectic today. We have gone from 50 Cent earlier in the show today to Randy Travis. Who is this?
This is Alan Jackson and Jimmy Buffett. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, gentlemen.
I got it.
Is Alan Jackson in town tonight?
Clever.
I have no idea. I just picked this song because it's 5 o'clock.
Yeah. I want to mention something too, C-Dot, before we get to the hits, my friend. Make sure and check out 610sports.com and check out our spring baseball flyaway. A lot of great stuff on there. You have a chance to, all you have to do is go to 610sports.com, enter your email address, and you're entered for your spring training flyaway. You'll stay at Talking Stick Resort inside Scottsdale. You get a baseball experience. You can see a couple of concerts. Dustin Lynch is one of them. Great stuff. And the other thing, too, at 610sports.com, I've been giving you my Valentine's Day tips, which you can check out. Make sure your Valentine's Day is absolutely amazing. But Bink's Valentine's Day bailout prize pack is on there as well. This is a hell of a deal. $100 to Sullivan Steakhouse, $100 to Panache Chocolate and Cafe, $100 to Trap and Company to get your lady some flowers, and you can stay at the newly renovated Westin Crown Center. All you have to do is go to 610sports.com. And the one thing you got to do, it's easy, man. Enter your email address and you got a chance to win.
We will catch up with Jeffrey Flanagan in about 10 minutes. But, Cats, take it away.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits, number one.
Earlier today, Jerry Krasnick of ESPN sent out a tweet. The tweet read as follows. A couple of MLB executives, think Logan Morrison, a Kansas City native, has his eye on the Royals as a landing spot if Eric Hosmer doesn't return. Hunter Dozier currently tops the first base depth chart in Kansas City. Logan Morrison and Lucas Duda are among the bats available in a painfully slow market. Do you think spring training can start without Eric Hosmer or J.D. Martinez signing deals?
Absolutely. I think it will. I mean, they're having some of these spring training free agent camps, and Scott Boras said his guys will not be there. First and foremost, spring training is way too long. It's become a business, a revenue generator for towns and for teams. It doesn't need to be this long anymore. I mean, it was created for fat guys that worked in warehouses and smoked darts and ate donuts in the offseason to get back in shape. Players don't need that anymore, right? Haas is going to be fine. J.D. Martinez is going to be fine. The time that I would start to worry is if these guys aren't signed before games start to be played. You get to that point, and then I'm going to start to be concerned a little bit.
I think that I don't know if free agency can move ahead without those guys. I think we just see in every market, there's normally a hierarchy. Man, the hierarchy hasn't really been established. The top contract so far this offseason has been signed as Lorenzo Cain, who I think was a clear tier two free agent, but certainly no one put him in the category of Yu Darvish. No one thought at the beginning of the season he was like Jake Arrieta or a couple of the big money guys like Eric Hosmer and J.D. Martinez. I just think the Royals wait until the final minute to see what happens with Hosmer. I just can't see, given what Dayton has said on this show and publicly on other places, that the Royals are going to Eric Hosmer with the deadline. Hey, if we don't know by February 20th what's going to happen, we're moving in another direction. The Royals will give Eric Hosmer every possible opportunity and all the time he needs to decide on a free agent contract with the Royals. So I just don't know how I don't know how free agency can move forward, at least not for the Royals, until they know where Eric Hosmer
is
going to play.
Well, the other part of that too is, I mean, the Royals do have a backup plan. If they want to run, you know, Hunter Dozier over there, they can certainly do that. High draft pick that's played a handful of games at that position. You know, you've got Chesler Cuthbert at third. You can put Dozier at first. So it's not like the Royals are in a hurry to get their first baseman. So if Logan Morrison says, hey, listen, I want to be a Royal, but I got an offer here and I got an offer there, he'll go. I mean, the Royals, listen, they don't have to cave to anybody until they find out what Haas says.
Number two.
Please make your case for it could potentially be a good thing for Kansas to lose the Big 12 regular season title.
It's going to sound nuts, C-Dot. But hear me out. All of you. Bill Self, for whatever reason, can't seem to get the attention of some of his talented players. I'm talking about LeGerald Vick in particular. As crazy as this sounds, the public shame of breaking the streak of 13 consecutive Big 12 titles might just be the thing that actually makes this team better. And I don't preach tanking. I don't preach losing. I'm not saying I want it to happen. But you break tradition at a school like Kansas, talk about the embarrassment that this group would have. They'd have to wear that like a scarlet letter or a tattoo. It's going to be on them for the rest of their lives. Unless, of course, they lose the Big 12 regular season title, win the Big 12 tourney, and or make a run in the Big Dance. Then they can become that yeah, but team. Yeah, they broke the streak, but they got all the way to the Elite Eight, right? And I'll give you an example. And I know this is apples and oranges before you light me up on the text line, okay? But look at Mike Moustakas. He needed the reset button hit in 2014. He hit 212. Got into the postseason, lit it up. Hit six bombs, 15 RBIs. Hit 303 in the World Series. And that seemed to me to be the thing that really kind of jump-started his career. Sometimes you just need to clear the stats, clear the air, so you can move on. I'm not saying it's the best thing that could happen to KU, but it might be the only thing that can get their attention because Bill Self is coaching effort right now. He said certain guys don't try hard. Mitch Lightfoot is a starter. We're at February 9th of this basketball season, and Self is saying these things now instead of in November. Maybe this is the only thing that could actually propel this team to being a Big 12 tournament champion and potentially make a run in the NCAAs.
Number three.
The final hit of the day. Michael Porter Jr. met with the media today, and oh, the chosen one does not talk very often. Catch if you can fade the music down. Michael Porter Jr. met with the media today, and oh, it was good news to the ears of every Missouri Tiger fan.
Michael, how you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. You know, I'm getting better every day, rehab every day with Coach Nick. And I'm feeling really good.
Mike, I know Coach kind of said he wouldn't be shocked to see you back. I guess you kind of said last night that's still a possibility. I mean, where do you stand as far as the possibility of being able to play again?
Well, I would love to play again. You know, that was my whole reason to come to Mizzou, was to play. But I'm just having a great time watching the guys. You know, I mean, I think people lose focus about what's really important. That's that our team is doing good, and we're having a great year. You know, we've already won 16 games. We won 8 last year. So I'm having a great time watching the guys, but at the same time, I would love to get back and play with them. You know what I mean? So I'm enjoying watching them, but I would love to get back out there if I could.
Is there a date by which you kind of need to know if you're going to be able to or not? Like, I mean, if you can't play by the end of the regular season, basically, like, would you come back just for postseason games?
If it were up to me, I would love to get a couple games under my belt before hopping into tournament play. That's how I would love to do it. I mean, I'm doing everything I can. I'm working hard every day. I'm feeling better every day. And I'm just hoping that the doctor feels the same way.
When is the next about kind of time to get cleared by a doctor?
It was 6 weeks from the last time I went. I don't know exactly when I went last, but I'm pretty sure it's coming up in a week or two. I think it's next week.
What would that clearance give you?
I mean, my rehab therapist thinks that I'm good to go with practice, except for the contact part. I'm hoping that the doctor clears me to do everything, contact included. That's what I would love to hear, but, you know, it's not up to me. It's up to me to work hard, but it's up to the doctor to tell me I'm ready to go.
I know doctors don't have a crystal ball, but given the time that you had the surgery, is there a possibility, from what they've told you, that you could fit within this time frame and still play this season?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm hoping that next week the doctor tells me that I'm ready to start full-on practicing. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if that's what I'll hear.
That was Missouri freshman Michael Porter Jr. We all can agree with this. If Michael Porter practices again with the Missouri basketball team, it is with the intentions of him playing in a basketball game in 2018 in Missouri.
Yeah, why would he practice if he wasn't going to do
that? So that's where we're at. Yeah. He says next week. Next 2 weeks, I assume it's going to happen next week. He will get clearance or not cleared to practice. I think that's when the conversation ends. If he goes to the doctor and they don't clear him for physical contact in basketball practice, it's over. There's no more Porter's coming back to save Mizzou. No, it's done. So that's it. I got all my hopes and prayers on doctor's orders. And God owes us this. Not to get super religious, but
Mizzou? Owes Mizzou fans this?
Who cares?
All the pain he's put us through in my entire life?
Yeah.
He owes us.
So that's why. So Michael Porter. I just
want to. I just want his divine healing on Michael Porter's vertebrae. That's all I
want. Why don't you get Mr. Miyagi down to Columbia? Maybe he can rub it, like, you know, put his hands together and, you know, and rub his spinal situation.
Whatever needs to happen for Michael Porter to get back on the court and play basketball. We'll get back to Mizzou basketball and a little college basketball after our conversation with Jeffrey Flanning.
God owes Mizzou fans, is what you're telling me.
Have you been following Missouri athletics and all the stuff that has been taken away from Missouri?
Yeah, I see.
We deserve one good thing to happen.
Who cares?
Porter coming back to play in 7 basketball games would be a great thing for Mizzou. And I have endured enough.
All right.
That he owes us this.
Right
now, we head to the hotline right now to catch up with Jeffrey Flanagan of MLB.com, who is about to head to Surprise, Arizona. Flanagan, how you doing, man?
I'm all good. How's things going there? It sounds pretty intense.
It is intense with Michael Porter. I mean, I can't believe that spring training is about to start next week. I mean, you were going to be gone for, what, 9 weeks?
Actually, it's a little bit shorter this year. It's maybe about 7.5. Thanks to the new CBA, spring training. So we're going to start on the 29th of March. So that's good news, I think.
Flanny, you sent out some sort of like semi-cryptic tweet when you answered a question yesterday when you opened the old mailbag, or the day before, whatever it was. When somebody
why are you reading that stuff, Brad?
What'd you say?
I said, why are you reading that stuff?
Well, because I meant it. I was making
a personal comment from me to another guy.
Well, I was just, you know, I mean, I want to know how much product you're going to wear in your hair. I mean, you got your mop parted down the middle. But the other thing that you tweeted out when a fan asked you, you know, is there going to be any surprise signings? And you said, yeah. And you said, but I can't confirm right now. I think this is the perfect time. Just between me, you, and CDOT, nobody else is listening. Tell us
no
what you know.
They're going to have a couple of, I think, surprises. There's a couple things they've worked on from what I've heard from scouts. I can't confirm anything right now. But, look, I'm not, you know, talking about, you know, signing Barry Bonds or something like that. But it'll be a, you know, eyebrow raiser.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, Flanny, 10 being the biggest eyebrow raiser, give me a, like, where is it, do you think?
Between 5 and 8, probably.
All right.
Okay, so I would say that's not Eric Hosmer. What chances would you put on Hosmer signing now at this point, and can you give us any update on what's happening? It feels like it's been really quiet from Boris and Hosmer the last two and a half weeks.
I think it's been the same I've been saying for months, and it's getting pretty boring, but I still think it's above 50%, and as the weeks go by, the days go by, and he's not signed with someone else, you know, obviously, this is no shocker, but obviously the chances of the Royals of getting him back are better. And it's been their main target in the off season. I wouldn't say they're, you know, tremendously optimistic, but it's still there and it could happen. We were this way, you know, 2 years ago with Alex Gordon. I mean, not many people gave him a chance to sign him, and you can say what you want about that signing, but at that point, they thought there was no chance, and a lot of people don't think there's a chance right now, but I still think the Royals are in the ballpark with him.
Right now, we're talking to Jeffrey Flanagan of MLB.com. All right, let's say that Hosmer is off the board. Let's say he signs with random team. You pick the team. And I had to give you Logan Morrison or the field for opening day first baseman. Who are you taking?
Hunter Dozier. you know, if they're going to commit to a rebuild here, which they fully are, I don't think, I'm not saying they won't sign Logan Morrison. You know, obviously there's interest on both ends, but it doesn't make a ton of sense, you know, from my standpoint to why would you spend that kind of money for someone like him when you can just have your own developmental guy do that position and go forward from there. You know, he's a guy. Local guy, obviously, he's only had 2 good years out of 8 in the big leagues, and last year was a monster year for him, and actually the time to get him would have been prior to last year if you're going to, you know, buy high and buy low and sell high. Not now, not after he's, you know, had that big breakthrough year with 38 home runs. So I still go with an internal solution at that point.
Flanny, let me ask you this. And, you know, I was reading your story about who could play first base for the Royals, and you and I are kind of on the same page. I think if Hosmer doesn't sign, they don't have a whole lot of depth there, but I think it'll be Dozier as well. And you got Samir Duenas, who hadn't played above Double A. I don't think he's got a shot to make the big league club either. But the one thing that, and it was the quote in the bottom part of your piece, and Dayton was talking about, if you're going to add more, if you're going to add a player, for example, like a Haas or somebody, they've got to shed payroll. Let's just play in fantasy land right now and say Haas does come back to the Royals. What are they going to do to shed payroll? I mean, that makes me believe there's going to be a bunch of trades.
Well, it'd be pretty easy to do, actually. I mean, you got Jason Hamill right now, who's owed $10 or $11 million. You've got Kelvin Herrera, who they've got a bunch of calls on ever since winter meeting started, and he was owed $8 million last year. He's going to make more through arbitration. So if you were to limit, look, you're going to have to give some money back to get rid of someone like Hamill right now after the year he had. But if you got rid of both of those guys and you paid some of Hamill's deal and you backloaded Hosmer's deal, it's pretty easy to come up with $14 or $15 million off the payroll right there. So I don't think that's a major, major concern for them right now.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, because my initial thought was, especially when Duffy's name was coming up in trade talks, that maybe Duffy would be
He's
one of those guys
too, yeah.
that would be targeted. But if it's but if you can save $14-15 million by trading Hamill or Herrera, okay, that answers my question. That's different than what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, and then you keep your number one starter in the rotation. My biggest concern about this team going forward is the bullpen. I mean, they've had a shutdown bullpen for how many years now? I mean, even when Dayton was rebuilding back in 2007, I mean, back then when Joaquin Soria was really, really good, they always had a great back end of the bullpen. And you look now going forward with this team, who's going to close? Who are the 7, 8, 9-inning guys? But, you know, Alexander's not there, and Herrera might not be there, and Soria's not there. I mean, who's going to be those guys? I mean, I think that's the biggest concern going forward.
Jeff, earlier on the show we were talking about Mike Moustakas' contract. John Heyman, at the end of the postseason, thought that Moose was going to get a 5-year, $80 million contract. Very safe to say that is not in play for Moose. What happened with him that has now caused him to be from a guy we thought could maybe get that 9-figure deal to now it looks like a 2-3-year contract could happen?
Well, it's not over yet. I mean, look, he's one of, 100 free agents out there right now. Some might be going to that camp, not Boris guys. Might be going to that spring training camp. I think the market is just correcting itself a little bit from what we've seen in past years where, you know, a bunch of guys were getting 5, 6, 7-year deals for $150 million. And I don't think we're going to see that going forward, but Lorenzo Cain did get 5 for $80. I wouldn't be shocked if still Moose got something for 3, 4 for, you know, $60-70 million going forward. I don't know for a fact that's going to happen, but I think that's still a possibility going forward. We all know this is kind of a crazy free agent market, but and everyone's kind of pointing fingers at everybody right now. But I still think the market is sort of correcting itself from some bad deals in past years. So I think those guys are still going to get paid. Look, there's some pretty good offers out there for some of these guys. From what we've heard. So it's not like it's totally dried up. It's just that these guys are going to have to maybe take the deal that, you know, it's not going to be 9 years for $200 million. Just
no,
take
I mean,
your deal and move forward.
No, Flanagan, you're right. I guess I bring it up with Moose is I just don't know where that deal is coming from because I haven't heard any rumors. I haven't heard or you haven't tweeted about it. Heyman hasn't tweeted about it. Buster Olney hasn't tweeted about it. At least with Kane, there was some smoke. With Moose, with Haas, there's some smoke. Where is that smoke for Mike Moustakas?
There's always a mystery team that comes up out of nowhere. And that, to be honest, was kind of true with Lorenzo Cain. I mean, we didn't hear a lot about the Brewers. The Milwaukee guys were not tweeting about that either. And all of a sudden, that deal kind of came together pretty quickly. So you just never know. I mean, it could be the Giants. It could be the Orioles. It could be who knows? I mean, something's going to pop. For these guys, they're good ball players who've had great years in the past, and I think it'll still happen. It's just going to happen during spring training this year.
Talking to Jeff Flanagan, Royals Insider, MLB.com. Flanny, do you think that did the agents and the players not see this coming? And Carrington and I were having the conversation earlier today about, man, if Moose knew it was going to be this, why didn't he accept the qualifying offer for 17.4? Did the agents and the players not see this coming at all?
Well, it's more than 17.4, actually. And I think a lot of guys are going to kick themselves and go, hey, why didn't we take that qualifying offer? Because, you know, it's come March 15th, some of these guys are going to be settling for one-year deals for 14 or 15. They're going to go, oh, my God, what was I thinking? Why didn't I do that?
Yeah.
It could very well happen this year. And like I said, I think the market's going to correct itself a little bit here the next year or two. And a lot of these guys are going to have to, like, tone down their ambitions a little bit. And we're going to see that possibly. Although I got a feeling it's going to be a very, very busy February and March with signings and guys that you didn't think were going to get signed or teams that you didn't think were interested are certainly going to come forward. And one of those teams might be the Royals. I mean, the Royals might out of nowhere, you know, make an offer to Haas that you didn't expect. You just don't know right now.
Who's got the leverage, Flanny, the owners or the players?
Right now, the owners.
Yeah. I mean, so they're playing chicken, though, right? I mean, I don't remember an offseason going this late into free agency where so many guys are unsigned. So, I mean,
yeah, most teams right now feel like they have a team going forward that they can compete with. So, would it be better with J.D. Martinez? Would it be better with Arrieta? Would it be better with Haas or Moose? Sure. But they kind of feel like going forward, we're ready to compete. So I would still say advantage owners.
One last question for you before we let you go, bud. At what point do you think we see some fan backlash to the players? If they're like, man, you got 7 for $147 and that's not good enough? I mean, do you think we're on the verge of that or not?
Well, the 7 for $147 was never accurate.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, these big offers that are out there. I mean, we know that Haas has 7 years on the table, at least from the Padres, right? And Dayton obviously doesn't talk about his offers that he goes out there. But
we don't know what the money value for that. We don't even know what 7 years. So I kind of dispute all those wild rumors and stuff like that. I don't know. I think the fans are always going to take the side of the owners because they're thinking these guys are making an average of $4 million a year. What are they complaining about?
Yeah.
I kind of sit right down the middle. I see it from the player standpoint. I see it from the owner standpoint. But everybody's making money, and prices for the tickets never go down.
Yeah.
Ever. It's kind of a tough spot for the fans to be in.
Hey, Flanny, thanks a bunch, man. I appreciate it, and be safe. I know you're going, early Sunday morning, heading down to Surprise?
Very early, yes.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Well, be safe, man, and we'll talk to you when you're down there, bud, okay?
All right, guys. Take care, bud.
You got it, man. That's Jeff Flanagan, Royals insider from MLB.com. Good stuff from him, man.
No, I always enjoy talking to Jeffrey Flanagan. We appreciate it.
I just love that stuff. You know, Flanny doesn't tweet anything out there, put anything out there that's not based in fact, you know? And when he comes out and he says, hey, there's going to be a couple of surprise signings, and when I ask him, you know, to rank the level of surprise from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, he said it could be in the 5 to 8 range. So that gets me extremely curious about what could happen at spring training this year.
We will talk more about what Jeffrey Flanagan had to say and get back to a very important weekend for all three local schools in college basketball. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive, go ahead and text in your questions. Text line 69306. We will get to them coming up in about 15 minutes when we do our ritual, Ask Us Anything. We just had Jeffrey Flanagan on the show of MLB.com. He is as plugged in with the Kansas City Royals as any human being walking the face of the earth. This was his update on the free agent situation regarding Eric Hosmer.
I think it's been the same I've been saying for months, and it's getting pretty boring, but I still think it's above 50%. And as the weeks go by, as the days go by, and he's not signed with someone else, you know, obviously, this is no shocker, but obviously the chances of the Royals of getting him back are better. And it's been their main target in the offseason. I wouldn't say they're, you know, tremendously optimistic, but it's still there and it could happen. We were this way, you know, 2 years ago with Alex Gordon. I mean, not many people gave him a chance to sign him. And you can say what you want about that signing, but at that point, they thought there was no chance, and a lot of people don't think there's a chance right now, but I still think the Royals are in the ballpark with him.
I don't think Flanagan would say a percentage chance like that if he did not believe it. Again, I think he is as plugged into the Royals as anyone out there. It has certainly been a shift in transition in terms of how I've approached the Eric Hosmer free agency. I remember thinking basically my entire life, ever since I knew who Eric Hosmer was and then I realized when he would become a free agent that he would not be on the team in 2018. I certainly don't know how anyone could have that opinion out. It is definitely a chance for Eric Hosmer to be on the team. What's at least a little bit more interesting to me, and I know you and I are on different sides when it comes to Mike Moustakas.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how the bubble has bursted for Mike Moustakas and how much the money has dried up. And we were just talking to Flanagan about it, and he says, I still think there's a four-year, five-year deal out there. Man, from who? I can't think of a single story that's happened this offseason that has linked Mike Moustakas to a team. We thought the Giants were the team. Man, I would say a week into free agency, they were already out of it. We thought the Angels were one of those teams. They were quickly out of the race.
And the Angels have a ton of money, man. I mean, they get $250 million a year in TV money. And that's where Moose wanted to go. Like, Moose wanted to be a SoCal guy. You know, I mean, that's where he grew up. So I'm with you. That one is perplexing to me.
So I looked this up today because I was really curious, because I was trying to go back to when we were talking about Moose at the very beginning of the free agency process and what everyone else was saying. MLB trade rumors predicted Mike Moustakas will get a five-year, $85 million deal. John Heyman, who I think is as plugged in as anybody in baseball, he predicted 5 years, $80 million for Mike Moustakas. I remember arguing at the time, man, if you can get Moose at that 5 years, 80, I'd much rather have that deal over the Eric Hosmer deal. I still feel that way. I just don't think Mike Moustakas is even going to get close to the 5 years, 80. I think whenever we hear Moose signs with a team, he gets like a two-year, $25 million deal, or like a 2-for-30 or like a 3-for-39 kind of year. I'd be surprised at this point if he got over that $50 million threshold, which the Royals was so important to them, at least at the trade deadline, and not trading people because they felt like they could get that back in compensation. It just feels like the bubble bursted for Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is the market, the way it is. I think a lot of it is, you know, the other part of it is the things that I've touched on here, you know, since the season ended. And worrying about, hey, if we're going to give Mike Moustakas 5 years and that much money, what's he going to be like in year two, three, four, and five? You know, because, you know, I've heard some reports that Moose is in great shape right now. Last year he wasn't. I mean, I think fitness is a legitimate concern. Health is a legitimate concern going forward. I know as a guy in my 40s that, man, aches and pains hurt a hell of a lot more now than they used to. And I never played a pro sport. I never fouled one off my ankle in the big leagues and then had to go out and play five consecutive games.
You kind of do, though. You kind of understand what Moose is going through.
I do, because I do play an infield position in my old man league.
You're a funny man.
So I do understand that.
I mean, you're basically like Julio Franco, you know?
The only thing Moose and I have in common is my knee hurts, too. So I can relate to that with Moose. That's about it. But in all seriousness, I mean, I think that's part of it. And we've seen owners tightening up and saying, listen, we're sick and tired of having to eat a bunch of money on the back end of contracts because we have to overpay for these guys. Moose, to me, screams like a guy that you would have to overpay to get, and there's a potential that he breaks down. And I think that's part of it. I'm not cracking on Moose. I'd love for everything to stay the same in Kansas City. We had Haas at first, Moose at third, Eske at short, and Whit Merrifield at second, and Salvi behind the dish, and all's good in Kansas City. But if I got to pick one, it's still always going to be Hosmer. I think he's the guy that you build around. At the same time, that's a lot of money, man. Like, that's a lot of money.
There was a report from John Heyman, and I don't know if many people saw this or not, so I'll read the quote to you. Quote, Mike Moustakas doesn't have a readily apparent market, but word is he isn't about to give in. Moose hit 38 home runs in his walk year. Word is Jake Arrieta is too. The players were described by the agent of another star free agent as, these are the words of John Heyman, they are not my words, disillusioned and even angry. I can understand if you're Mike Moustakas why you'd be angry with this process. I think Moose has done everything Major League Baseball asked him to do. He got injured in 2016. There was a, can Mike Moustakas do it again? He had a good year in 2015. He bounced back in 2015. He then got injured 2017. It was, hey, it's a walk year. Go out there and prove it. That's what we tell everybody heading into their free agency year. Hey, prove you are worth the money. Moose goes out there and puts together one of the 10 best offensive seasons in the history of the Royals. 38 home runs, hit for a high average, made an all-star team. Moose was a really good player in 2017. And now there doesn't appear to be a club that wants you. I assume your agent is having talks. I assume there was a team you like. But I assume, like you said, he wanted to go to the Giants. Giants weren't interested in you. They made another decision. I assume you wanted to go to the Angels. Angels made a different move. The Mets, we thought, was going to be a potential team. They signed Todd Frazier. I just don't know where the team is. So I understand feeling disillusioned and even angry. Especially when A club offered you a one-year, $17.4 million deal, and you declined it.
Yeah.
I understood why you declined it. You thought it was bigger money out there. We all thought it was bigger money out there. I don't know if it is for Mike Moustakas. I don't know if there's bigger money out there. Hosmer was always going to turn it down. Kane was always going to turn it down because they were always going to get bigger deals. I thought Moose was in the same boat. I don't know anymore, man.
I don't either. And I think between he and Yunel Escobar, I mean, those are probably the two top third basemen still available that are out there. It's a little bit perplexing. I will say this. I mean, I think one of the common denominators between the best players not signing is the guy that's their agent. So I would love to know. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in Scott Boras's office and know what he's asking for. I think we all raised an eyebrow when Haas got offered 7 years, and then we heard he wants 8 or 9 years. So I don't know what – I mean, Boras is playing a pretty big-time game of chicken now because this essentially is a labor dispute in a year when the labor contract's not up. That's essentially what it is. I mean, these two are squaring off right now. You know, I think the players are already pissed off about the pitch clock and some of the other things that Major League Baseball wants to change the game. And now the free agent money's drying up for – you consider Moose a tier one guy or a tier two guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's not even close to a tier one. I would say tier one is Yu Darvish, Eric Hosmer, J.D. Yeah. Martinez. I mean, I guess we see Kane was a tier two guy. I would say now Hosmer's clearly a tier three guy. I thought he was going to be a tier two in that same category as – Lorenzo Cain, he is not.
Well, let me read you a quote that I got from an agent buddy of mine that I reached out to today. And I asked him, I'm like, give me a word or give me a sentence to describe, you know, what's really going on and how players and agents feel. And this is what he told me. He goes, quote, he goes, I feel really bad for the third and fourth tier players who can't get work because of this. Third and fourth tier players to me are like Jerod Dyson, guys like that. You know, Moose to me seems like a tier two guy that is maybe asking for too much. Because if Todd Frazier, who was the other guy? Zach Cozart, I think.
Zach Cozart.
Those guys have deals and Moose doesn't. I just love to know what Boras is trying to get for Mike Moustakas. And at what point do you say, hey, my agent screwed me? Because let's not just because Scott Boras is Scott Boras and he's got a lot of money and a lot of big time contracts for a lot of players, doesn't mean the guy can't make a mistake and judge the market wrong either.
But we say that though. I mean, whose clients is like what agent is getting their player great deals right now?
Yeah. Lorenzo Cain.
That's it. That's the only
Wade
one.
Wade Davis's.
Two guys?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 90 available free agents there. They aren't all represented by Scott Boras. I understand what you're saying is, I would understand if we could just look and say, man, the Boras guys are kind of dragging their feet a little bit. Those are the only guys that are unsigned. Man, everybody is unsigned right now. Yu Darvish is unsigned. Jake Arrieta is unsigned right now. Moose, Hosmer. It's just so many talented players out there that are unsigned right now. It's more of a Major League Baseball players union problem right now, in my mind, than a Scott Boras problem.
Yeah, and Boras is sort of insinuating and starting to say that they're colluding against the free agents. And
I think that's obvious.
I think it's pretty obvious, too, because – I mean, if guys are turning down qualifying offers and agents and players don't know about this, usually they have a pretty good gauge on the market before they hit free agency. They don't know about this, and all of a sudden the market's completely different than they projected, then that to me screams not just good business by a handful of owners, that screams a little bit of collusion by others.
Yesterday, before the North Carolina Duke game, as I'm sure many of you were locked into your televisions for a historic college basketball rivalry, they talked about something even more important than Duke and North Carolina. On ESPN's College Game Day, potentially the marquee show discussing college basketball. You want to know who they discussed?
KU.
Michael Porter Jr.
K-State.
Here was the conversation.
But there's starting to be rumblings that maybe Michael Porter is going to come back and play. I know it's a different subject.
Why?
If he were to come back and play, what's the ceiling?
Why would he ever come? It does
maybe
not make
wants
any
play.
I know,
maybe he wants to play.
It doesn't do anything for Michael Porter to come back and
maybe
play.
Maybe he wants to play. That's okay, too. What's the ceiling for them?
He should fire his agent if he comes back.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think they're good now. It depends on how good he is. I don't know that he can come back and be the Michael Porter Jr. we expected out of the gate. If he's coming back at this stage of the season, and if he's tentative at all. And if you're Konzo Martin, how much do you play him? Like, that's a tricky deal. I don't know if I'd do it if I were coaching him, just because I wouldn't want to live with the consequences of it for that short a period of time.
I think they're an NCAA tournament team. They might win a game.
To me, I agree with you, Jay. There's no reason for him to come back. The risk is not worth the potential reward. And look at this Missouri team. They really guard you. They turn it over as high a rate as any team in the country. They're like 323 in turnover percentage. To me, there's no reason for him to come back.
But yeah. I understand there's no reason for it.
And I'm not sure how much better he makes him.
Okay, yeah. Fine. I agree with all of that. If Kim wants to play, good for him. If he's healthy and able to play and wants to play.
I appreciate Reese Davis there as at least standing up for the Missouri Tigers. I'm going to look at this objectively, and it's tough because I'm a fan of the Missouri Tigers.
No,
I'm also a season ticket holder because of Michael Porter. So I'll try to be as objective as I can. I'm surprised that Jay Williams as is emphatic with it because Jay Williams won a national championship as a sophomore at Duke, was a first-team All-American, and decided to come back to school. I imagine a lot of people were telling him, why continue to play college basketball for free? But he decided, I want to come back because my education was important and I enjoy playing college basketball. So I'm surprised to hear Jay Williams as emphatically saying there's no value to playing college basketball when he determined there was a value to play college basketball. Jay Billis, the lawyer, I understand his perspective. I even understand the argument for Michael Porter not coming back and re-injuring himself. If he comes out there, a hard foul, a hard fall, he then costs himself millions of dollars. I would say he's costed himself a little bit of money at this point, but nothing substantial. He went from being maybe the number one overall pick to there's no way Porter gets out of the top five, in my opinion. He's still too good of a prospect. He's 6'10", 6'11", can shoot. He can do everything on the floor. He's going to get drafted really high. My argument would be, in this case, if you don't think there's any benefit for Michael Porter playing this season, what was the benefit in the beginning of the season and how has it changed? If your stance wasn't that guys like Michael Porter, guys like Trae Young, guys like Marvin Bagley should just sit out their freshman year of college and not play basketball at all because the risk of getting injured is too great and they can't help their draft stock by doing it. What's different about the risk now? Is it the injury thing? Okay, that's a fair point. What else? Because I think that's really the only argument. If your argument is, if you are a bona fide lottery pick, we agree Michael Porter, whether he went to Missouri, went to UMKC, went to Avila, he was going to be a top five pick in next year's NBA draft. So he didn't need to go to college. I didn't hear a lot of people saying that Michael Porter should just stay at home and work out. Hey, don't get injured. Don't worry about getting injured. Work on your body. I assume the argument was play against high-level competition, exposure, all the benefits that do exist from playing college basketball. What's changed about that? Because I would say it's the same now.
Let me ask you this, and you know this better than I do, so I'm legitimately asking you a question. What was the thing that Svee went to like last year to figure out if he was going to get drafted? Like, could Porter go to that?
Yeah, he can. Anybody can.
So what I'm asking is like, because I think NBA scouts probably want to see the guy, you know, play, bang, get knocked down, get up, shoot, perform, and I think that's the plus for Porter, along with being able to play with his brother and having his dad as an assistant coach. Can he still fulfill all that by not playing? Can he still show scouts and NBA teams that he can handle playing in a game after the college season's over? I mean, can they evaluate him that way and so they're like, oh, I feel great about him. I saw him play in three camps and he looked terrific. Can he still accomplish the mission of being a top five pick?
Basically what happened with Svee, he actually declared for the draft. They allow you to declare one time. So you can go to the combine, yeah, do all the stuff, and then not hire an agent and still go back.
Those guys play games, though, I guess,
yeah,
is what,
yeah,
I'm asking.
So Porter can declare for the draft and not hire an agent. Now, he can't do it again, which I imagine he wouldn't at the sophomore.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he's there for his junior year. I would say there's no way he's coming back for a sophomore year. I would tell Michael Porter, go to the NBA and be a millionaire.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm asking is, everybody's saying there's no benefit for Porter playing college basketball. And again, I understand the injury concern. Kyrie came back when Kyrie was injured. Kyrie broke his foot, came back to play in the NCAA tournament. I firmly believe that Joel Embiid was going to come back and play in the tournament, but KU lost. What is the benefit of Michael Porter ever playing college basketball, if that was the case, because he was a top five pick, whether he went to Missouri or not? What is not the same benefit if he decides to come back now? I would assume everything that you thought was a benefit to him playing in November,
yeah,
is still,
absolutely,
a benefit now.
Unless he can take longer to heal and still play in those games and have scouts see him. That's all I'm saying. Like, if he comes back and he gets hurt, that's a mess.
Because someone on the text line put, Michael Porter Jr. can only hurt his draft stock. He's not coming back in game shape. That was always the case then. From the day Michael Porter committed to play at Missouri, only something bad could happen. You can't go higher than number one overall. We thought Porter could be the number one overall pick. What was the benefit of Marvin Bagley than going to school? Just sit out, work out. NBA scouts. No, I mean NBA scouts was drafting you a couple years ago, or what, now 10 years ago at this point, seeing you playing against high school kids, and you were getting paid. So, I mean, if Michael Porter just decided he wanted to stay at home this year and not play basketball in Missouri, he still would get drafted top five. So, again, my question is just this, and I understand people don't have the answer. What was the benefit of him playing basketball in November? And if you thought there was a benefit to him going to college for playing on ESPN exposure, all those kind of things, how is that still not the case now? If he's healthy, if he's 75%, then don't come back and play.
Yeah.
If you're 85%, don't come back and play. If you get cleared by the doctor to do everything that you could do at the very beginning of the season, they then ease you back into it with a minute standpoint. I don't think he's playing 40 minutes the first game that he comes back, and you're healthy enough to play basketball. What's changed about it?
Yeah, nothing. If the kid wants to play and he's healthy, go play.
As we end every Friday, text it in. Text line 69306. It's time for Ask Us Anything, is the segment that you control. Next on The Drive.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can.
Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Text line 69306. The segment is very easy. It is called Ask Us Anything. You ask a question, we answer the question. Very simple. Fanning, are you ready?
I am. Let's go.
Who do you think wins in a fight, the Kelce brothers or the Morris twins?
You seen basketball players fight?
I have.
They don't fight very well. I'm taking the Kelce brothers. You kidding me?
Jason Kelce, the offensive lineman's got to have a...
Yeah. Travis
gotta
Jason.
Got to have a what?
Well, he's got an advantage over everybody else. He literally is in the trenches and... He pushes people around?
Yeah, no, I'm taking football players over basketball players every time.
Text line 69306. Legalize marijuana, yes or no?
Doesn't matter to me. Like, doesn't affect me. Yeah, why not?
My biggest question always when it comes to the legalization of marijuana, I'm on the same side that you are. I don't really care one way or the other. Marijuana is not really a part of my life, so I don't really care one way or the other is. I assume a lot of people are for the legalization of alcohol. What's the difference? Like, if you are pro drinking,
yeah,
and you're a pro being able to go out and have a cocktail and have one at your house and a glass of wine, why are you against the legalization of marijuana? And what makes them different? If you got a strong scientific answer, all right, cool.
I think sucking smoke in your lungs probably isn't the best thing. But again, drinking is probably not the best thing for your liver either.
Yeah, so I'm just saying is I assume many people are for your ability to make the decision if you want to drink or not. You can certainly decline if you want to drink. Yeah. But you're for the decision-making of it. Why are you against this when you are for smoking cigarettes and all? That part's just always weird to me is people that are obviously pro-drinking. A lot of people are pro-drinking. You make that choice as an adult. But then so against people smoking marijuana in their casual time. I'm always just a very simple of, I don't really care in my free time what you do in your free time. You ain't hurting nobody. You're minding your own business. I ain't got no issues with what you're doing.
I'm with you.
The tax breaks and everything, the tax revenues you can get is pretty substantial.
Text line 69306. Carrington, what are your Valentine's Day plan? I have absolutely no idea. Saving money, I would say right now, is my Valentine's Day plan.
So what if, like, so somebody needs to get you a gift, though, right? Since you don't have a date.
I don't want
a
gift. But
that was one of my tips.
Yeah, I don't want a gift.
One of my tips.
Yeah, I don't want one.
You stay at home?
What are your plans?
My wife's got to work. I got to work, so we'll probably have a nice dinner. And then she's actually going out of town next weekend for a girls' weekend. So probably not a big deal. She took me to Mellon Camp at the Midland on Valentine's Day a couple of years ago. That was fantastic.
Text line 69306. What is your best advice to a college student? My advice would be a very, very simple one. You can have all the fun you want. Just make sure you get up and go to class.
Yeah.
Half of the battle in college is actually attending
more than classes.
You don't got to be the smartest guy.
No.
But if the teachers see that you are trying and making an effort and you attend classes, you will not fail.
My advice would be this, like pick a major that's going to make some money, because right now, I mean, you can go to college, pay 25, 30 grand a year, get a degree, and you'll never be able to pay your debt off. So, I mean, if you're going to pick a degree that's not going to make you any cash, at least right now, it's different. That's the one thing where I back off on millennials a little bit. I had it a lot easier when it came to student loans and student debt than you guys did.
Text line 69306. What should I get my husband for Valentine's Day? Ask. I always feel like people ask questions they know the answer to. Ask them.
Yeah, or you should know your husband by now. Know what he likes.
Or just ask. I'm certainly never going to get mad at someone for asking me what I want you to buy me. Yeah. Hey, what do you want? I can tell you right now what I would want if you were buying me a gift. Yeah. So, yeah, I would just, that's a very, very easy thing. Text line 69306. CDOT, will you be buying season tickets for Missouri next year? No. It's just, I knew it wasn't a smart financial investment. I knew I wasn't going to make mini games during the week, but I wanted to support Missouri since they got
boring.
Michael Porter.
Quit so boring, everyone.
I'm not doing it. Text line 69306. Fanning, what is your favorite Olympic sport?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I would probably say ski jumping or the downhill, Olympic alpine downhill. Like, the fact that these dudes have the stones enough to go 80 miles an hour down a hill.
They're flying.
Hit a jump and fly almost half the length of a football field and then have to cut. To me, the Olympic downhill always does it for me. I mean, that's why I watch the training runs on it. I love it.
Text line 69306. I just got married and my wife doesn't enjoy watching football. What did I do? You didn't know that before you got married?
Ouch.
Like, you guys didn't talk before this? Like, I feel like you already have dealt with this problem before.
Yeah, sometimes, man, they'll hide that stuff, you know, before you get married. Then once you get married, the next thing you know, you find out she's annoyed that you watch football. It happens, man, to some dudes.
I've never been married. I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that she knew you enjoyed watching football.
Yeah.
You never asked her at some point, did you want to watch the Chiefs game? And then you got married, and now it's this big revelation that she doesn't like watching football. I feel like you knew this.
I got a buddy that was a huge Detroit Tigers fan. They got married, and she goes, I had no idea you love baseball this much. And he goes, I know. I was courting you. He was hiding it from her.
Text line 69306. Are you interested in the upcoming Tupac and Biggie show, Unsolved?
Yes.
No.
Why not? See, I would think.
Well, we know who killed Tupac and Biggie. I think we have a really good idea. Like, it's solved to me. The Tupac thing is
who killed him?
I would say Orlando Anderson. He got in a fight with a gang member and then an hour later was shot and killed. I'm no detective, but I'm going to guess that the gang member that they got in the fight with was heavily involved in the assassination of Tupac Shakur. And then I think that Suge Knight hired two police officers. I think it's like David something that came out the top of my head. And I think they killed Biggie Smalls. That's what I think happened. I think it's obvious who killed Biggie and Tupac. So it's not unsolved anymore. It's solved. I know. I have a good idea who's going to solve it. And they've been trying to figure it out for 21 years. This television show is not going to uncover the mystery of what happened with Biggie Smalls and Tupac. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. The gang is back together again on Monday. We out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.